I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's time now to talk about the JETS Jets, Jets, Jets with Brian Costello, and his report is brought to you by Winters Brothers Waste Systems. Conveniently rent a dumpster online at wintersbros.com. Long Island's number one choice for waste removal, wintersbros.com, and by Tushy, the modern bidet. I always get a kick out of introducing Brian Costello that way. I don't know why. My high school sense of humor, immaturity, whatever. Hi, Brian. How you doing?
I'm good, Richard. How are you?
Good, good, good. Well, right to it, is this next 6 weeks the time where Sam Darnold convinces that he's going to be a Jet? He's not going to be a Jet? Is this his final audition, his final chance to make things right? Or how do you see it?
Sort of. I think what it is can Sam Darnold play well enough that they win games, and then that there's no number one pick in the Jets' future. Because if he does that, then he's the quarterback. I don't think the Jets are going to be intent on moving away from Sam Darnold, except if they get the number one pick and Trevor Lawrence is there. I think they're going to move on and take Trevor Lawrence. So I'm not even sure, Richard, how they feel about Justin Fields. I think he still has some question marks. If they ended up with the number two pick, I think then there's a decision to be made there. If they go beyond two, if they somehow won, three games or something here and ended up with the number three pick, Sam, then that means Sam Darnold's playing very well in the last 6 weeks, and I think they would be convinced to stick with him. So it's sort of an audition, but if they end up 0-16 and number one pick, I think Trevor Lawrence will be here next year.
I'm not a college football guy, but if they don't draft a quarterback, let's throw out a few scenarios here. Let's say that Darnold does really well and they don't draft a quarterback. Is there an awesome pass rusher, a shutdown corner, a left – well, they have a left tackle, but, is there somebody – pardon?
They have a left tackle now, so yeah.
Yeah. So is there somebody out there who is so overwhelmingly good offense, defense – that you could take them, or are they probably better off trading the pick if it's not number one and they can't get Lawrence or, let's say, Fields at number two?
Yeah, I think they'd probably be better off trading the pick, Richard. There's not, we still got a long way to go to the draft for all the evaluations, but kind of the early stuff I've seen, and again, I'm not out there scouting college players, but I look at the list and stuff. There's a tackle from Oregon that's gotten a lot of attention. Now, I don't know if he can play right tackle or if he's just a left tackle, and maybe the Jets would say, hey, let's bookend the tackles here. And, that sets our offensive lineup for the next 10 years. Maybe they do that. There's some defensive ends, and there's some wide receivers that are getting a lot of attention up top. But there's no Chase Young. I think that's what you're thinking of, or a
yes.
Nick Bosa. For the last few years, of a pass rusher that could be number one if there's not a quarterback there. I think the Jets would probably be trying to trade down and get more picks because they obviously have so many holes on this roster that they have 9 picks right now. If Joe Douglas can turn that into 11 picks, 12 picks, now you're talking. That's the way to rebuild.
Yeah, I always get a laugh when listeners call, what are the Jets' needs? Who are they going to pick? And it's like, well, you name it. There's almost any position on the field where they could probably improve with the – a high draft pick. So it's not a question. And we hear all the time, we get the best player available. Need enter into it this time around for the Jets?
Yeah. Again, this is the beauty of them having so many holes, I guess, if you look at it that way. They can say
there's need all over the place.
They can say, other than left tackle right now, they can pretty much make a case that best player available and need are married. They can, if they take a wide receiver, they'll say, well, he was the best player available, but it also fills a need. If they take a cornerback, well, best player available, but it fills a need. So they can do that all over the place. I do think when you're looking at that early pick in the first round, and I think this is kind of where Mike McCagney made some mistakes. You have to be looking at those premium positions, Richard. And I think we're getting there where people consider quarterback, left tackle, edge rusher, cornerback, and to a lesser degree, wide receiver, as those positions where you take those hot early in the draft. You take those in the top 10. You can find other guys later at different positions. So I do think that will be a factor with the Jets' high pick if it's not, a quarterback right away.
Yeah, and we've talked all year about, they don't have great receivers. Well, now they've got Crowder and Perriman and Mims playing all at the same time, something that Sam Darnold did not have. So I guess we have to factor that into Flacco's success against the Chargers last week and the fact that he moved the ball rather well.
Yeah, absolutely. And like the last two games, the Patriots game and the Chargers game, I thought the offense looked better. And that was definitely part of the equation, is having those receivers back, and that, we'll see what Sam can do with them. I'm curious, Flacco, for all of his faults, is still a very good deep passer. He could throw the ball. When he throws the ball, it's something to watch. Like, he has such an arm. I'm curious if Sam can do the same thing, throwing the deep ball. And we saw it last week. The offense was kind of stagnant, and then they came out in the second half, and they throw the deep ball to Perriman, and that kind of sparked things and got things going a little bit. So I'm curious to see if Sam can do that now against the Dolphins. And the Dolphins play a pretty aggressive defense. So there's going to be opportunities for Sam to go deep. And, one of the things that early in the year, it seemed like Sam was never throwing deep, and that partly was because of the receiver. So we'll see what he can do now with those guys.
Now, moving on to the head coaching position, and again, I think we both don't like to do this because Adam Gase still has his job, and I would think that management hasn't spoken to him that, hey, Adam, you're kind of a lame duck, you're out of here. I don't think they would do that, but I think he does have to see the handwriting on the wall, wouldn't you think?
He'd be blind if he...
Yeah.
I think Adam Gase probably knows you're going 0-16. That's not good for your coaching resume, So yeah.
Well,
I'm sure he's thinking about it. And I'm sure he is.
I mean, is there any salvation here? I mean, you and I talked, and you wrote a column this week about the Jets' structure, which isn't all that different than a lot of team structure in the NFL, where the coach and the general manager report directly to the owner. Is there any chance Adam Gase goes in and, hey, look at the guys I got on the field. I'm doing okay. And do you really want to change the whole system now? I mean, is there a chance you could talk Woody or Chris Johnson into it?
I think he can make that argument, and I think there's some validity to that argument, especially if he ends up winning a few games here at the end. And like, if they look like a different team with Sam and those receivers on the field, he's got an argument. But here's the problem, Richard, is the Jets desperately need to change the conversation around that team. Like, this is obviously, they become they're a punching bag, they're a punchline, whatever you want to say. Like, you turn on ESPN, they're making fun of the Jets. You turn on your station, they're making fun of the Jets. Like, Christopher Johnson needs to change the conversation around the team. What's the quickest way to do that? Change the coach, right? And the quarterback, really. Like, if think about 2 months from now, if they have a new coach that, doesn't go out and have a terrible press conference like Adam Gase has. If he's successful in his opening press conference, which will probably be a Zoom call, and the Jets have the number one pick and they have a lot of money to spend, there's going to be optimism around the Jets. I think from January to August next year, there's going to be a lot of optimism around the team. When they start playing the games, we'll see what happens. But, I think so. I think Christopher Johnson knows that. And when Woody comes back, he'll know that. So that's a problem for Adam Gase for me. I think, there is a valid argument about what he's been given to coach, but they look terrible. They're 0-10, and I think, the Jets just need to change the conversation around their team.
With the search, Joe Douglas in charge of the search, or do they, bring in a recruiting firm like they have in the past?
No, it would be Joe Douglas. When they brought in the recruiting firm, that was for John Idzik. That was to hire John Idzik, so they didn't have a GM. And then in 2015, they had Casserly and Wolf do it when they were hiring a GM and a coach. So the last time McCagnan, he did the search for Adam Gase. So Douglas will oversee the search. Obviously, it's Christopher Johnson's final call. I don't I don't know when Woody Johnson's coming back, Richard, but I suspect it's probably going to be after the inauguration. I think it'll be later. So I do think he'd probably have a role in this, but I think ultimately Christopher's going to be the guy in all the interviews and making the final call. You know, Woody will probably be involved to some degree. But Joe Douglas will oversee it. What's that?
Did I just hear you say that you thought the election was settled already?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, someone said, like, oh, he'll be back by Thanksgiving. I'm like, there's no way he'll be back by Thanksgiving. I know that one. But I do, my understanding is even when the election is settled, that the ambassadors serve until the inauguration, until the changeover, and that's when things change. So I don't think Woody will be back here by New Year's.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so either. Okay, so I'm hearing names. I'm sure you're hearing lots of names, too. And college coaches, obviously, Northwestern undefeated. They beat Wisconsin last week. So, you know, you're hearing Fitzgerald's name. And, you know, Stanford's always a factor. And you're hearing Shaw's name. And people are suggesting Notre Dame now back, that Kelly. You think they go college? Do you think they go a Bieniemy? I mean, do you... Yep. You get a sense of what they value here and what direction they might go.
I think they'll cast a wide net for the interview process. I think they'll try to interview college guys. You know, one college team to watch, Richard, maybe some of the listeners watched yesterday when Iowa State beat Texas. Matt Campbell's a hot name at Iowa State. He's kind of the new Matt Rule, right? That he's that college coach who's not, he's not coaching Ohio State or he's not coaching Alabama, you know, but he's built a program at Iowa State. And the last time the Jets wanted to talk to him in 2018, 2019, when they were making the hire, and Campbell didn't want to talk to them. He said no. Now, you know, we'll see 2 years later, does he feel differently? If the Jets are getting Trevor Lawrence, does he feel differently? And, you know, Fitzgerald, I saw Albert Blue wrote about that the other day. You know, and as Albert wrote, Fitzgerald really hasn't jumped at any NFL chances. I think he's got a pretty good thing going at Northwestern, his alma mater. I'm not sure if he's going to want to go to the NFL. Same thing with Shaw. He's never jumped. So I'm sure they're going to cast a wide net and try to interview some of these college guys and then look at also coordinators and guys who've been head coaches before. I mean, that's the smart way to do it. The thing that interests me, Richard, very much with this process is how COVID is going to affect the interview process. You know, and does it slow it down? Does it make them interview less people because it's harder to interview guys? Is the first round all virtual? And then they pick a few guys that they want to bring in. You know, it's going to be interesting to me, not just the Jets, but anyone who's making a hire, how these times that we're living in affect it.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be a very different type search. And, you know, the other factor here that people have been writing about is, you know, do one of these desirable coaches want to come here? That they look at this team and they go, okay, well, they got lots of money to spend. That's never been a problem. Yeah. They've got, a pretty good GM, but they're terrible. And let's say they do get Lawrence. Okay, you got Lawrence and a whole lot of draft picks. Do you say, here's our chance to catch this thing on the rise and be a hero in New York? Or do they go, yeah, you know, this organization has been so dysfunctional for such a long time. Even college coaches taking my first coaching job, is this where I really want to go?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, there's only 32 of them head coaching jobs in the NFL, so they're attractive. But I do think both sides of the coin you just laid out are fair, and I think it's going to depend on the person, how they feel about it. I think there's going to be some people who are reluctant to come to the Jets just because it's been a mess here. In the last 10 years have not been good, and there's been, you know, a lot of changes of coaches and GMs. I think one of the big questions, and this was Joe Douglas's big question when he was hired, was, am I going to get enough time? Are they going to be patient? You know, and you're firing a head coach after 2 years, if you do this, that's not a great sign. You know, I do think, you know, Douglas has 4 years left after this year on his contract, so he'd be married up with the coach probably if they did a four-year contract. And Joe does have a very good reputation around football, so I think that helps this time. But I think it's fair. I think there's going to be some people who don't want any part of the Jets, and then there's going to be others that say, hey, I can go there, and I'm going to get Trevor Lawrence. There's a lot of money. We can fix these things. We can get better quickly. That's the place I want to go.
Interesting. All right, so if the Jets had their druthers, Who would they rather see, Fitzpatrick or Tua tomorrow? Looks like it's going to be Fitz, Tua. But they'd rather Tua. See Tua. Yeah.
I don't think they know right now. I mean, I talked to some people yesterday. It sounded like it really is up in the air in Miami because he hurt his thumb Wednesday in practice. But the Jets would just definitely rather see Tua because Fitzpatrick can have some success against the way the Jets are playing defense now with the soft zone. You know, Fitzpatrick will pick them apart. Tua might struggle a little bit to read the defense more.
Yeah, and it's funny with the Dolphins. I mean, they got a shot at the division. I mean, Buffalo's got a game on them, but, you know, Miami's got a pretty good defense, and, you know, if the offense starts to click. So I'm just wondering if the coach is reconsidering. Gee, Tua is the future and Fitzpatrick is the past, but who gives us a better chance to win?
Yeah, well, clearly they last week in the fourth quarter they turned to Fitz. So, you know, they're having their doubts about Tua if they're doing that. This is really key right now, key part of the schedule for the Dolphins. They lost to the Broncos, and then now they get the Jets, and they get the Bengals next week. And then after that, it gets a lot harder. They play the Chiefs, they play the Bills again. So they've got some tough games down the stretch. They really could use this one and next week against Cincinnati to strengthen their record.
Okay, well, out of time, but thank you, Brian, and we'll see what we'll see. Keep an eye. Thank you. Yeah.
All right, Rich. I think the Jets are going to win tomorrow. So you do?
All right. I'm going to mark you down for that, and we'll see if you're right. That's Brian Costello from the New York Post, our Jets beat guy.